I used to think that homesteading required acres of rolling hills and a massive tractor. I was wrong. For years, I watched potential harvests slip away because I didn't have the perfect plot of land. Then I realized that self-reliance isn't about the size of your dirt. It is about the quality of your choices. Choosing crops that actually work in containers is the ultimate equalizer. Whether you have a sprawling porch or a tiny fire escape, you can produce real food. I am talking about more than just a single sprig of parsley. I mean the kind of yields that change your grocery bill and your confidence. When you understand how to match a plant's biology to a confined space, you stop being a consumer and start being a producer. It is about taking control of your food chain, one pot at a time. Let us look at how we turn small spaces into high-output powerhouses. Write Chapter 1, The Architecture of the Pot, The Foundation of Containment. I remember the first time I tried to grow a standard beefsteak tomato in a small plastic bucket. It was a disaster. Within weeks, the plant had flipped the bucket over, and the roots were a tangled, suffocating mess. That was my first lesson in container architecture. You cannot just shove a plant into a pot and hope for the best. You have to understand the scope of what you are asking that plant to do. Growing in a container is essentially creating a tiny closed ecosystem. In the ground, roots can travel feet in any direction to find water or nutrients. In a container, I am the one responsible for every single drop of water and every ounce of minerals. The scope of container gardening starts with the root system. If you want to be self-reliant, you have to be realistic about the space you have. Deep-rooted crops like standard carrots or large melons are going to struggle unless you have massive troughs. For most of us, the goal is efficiency. I look for crops that have shallow to medium root depths. This allows me to use smaller, more manageable containers that I can move if the sun patterns change. Why it matters is simple. If the root system fails, the harvest fails. A cramped root system leads to a stressed plant. Stressed plants attract pests, like maggots. By matching the crop to the container size, I am ensuring the plant stays healthy without needing chemical interventions. It is about working with nature rather than trying to force it into a box that does not fit. Safety is a factor, even in small-scale setups. I always check the weight limits of my balcony or deck. Wet soil is incredibly heavy. 1 cubic foot of wet soil can weigh over 60 pounds. If you have 10 large pots, you are looking at over 600 pounds of pressure on your structure. I also make sure I am using food-grade containers. Avoid old painted buckets or industrial containers that might leach chemicals into your vegetables. If you are using recycled materials, give them a thorough scrub with a mild vinegar solution. The tools for this stage are basic but essential. I use a high-quality potting mix, never garden soil. Garden soil is too heavy and will compact in a container, essentially drowning the roots. I also keep a set of sturdy drills on hand. Most decorative pots do not have enough drainage. I drill at least 5 half-inch holes in the bottom of every container I own. Drainage is the difference between a thriving plant and root rot. The steps are methodical. I start by lining the bottom of the pot with a small piece of landscape fabric or even a coffee filter to keep the soil from washing out. Then I fill the pot to within 2 inches of the rim. I never pack the soil down. I want it fluffy so oxygen can reach the roots. Once the plant is in, I check the settle. After the first watering, the soil usually drops an inch. I top it off to ensure the roots are fully covered. The final check is the finger test. I stick my finger 2 inches into the soil. If it feels dry, I water. If it is damp, I leave it alone. Overwatering is the number one killer of container crops. I also check for slumping, where the plant starts to lean because the soil is too loose. A simple bamboo stake can fix this early on. For long-term care, I make sure to refresh the top 2 inches of soil every month with fresh compost to keep the nutrient levels high. I have found that when I respect the physical limits of the container, the plants reward me with a harvest that feels earned. You are the architect of their world, so build it with intention. Write Chapter 2, Selecting the High Output Winners, The Search for Efficiency. I spent a lot of time failing before I realized that not all seeds are created equal. When you read a seed packet, you are looking for specific keywords. Words like determinate, bush, or dwarf are my best friends. These are the crops that have been bred to stay compact while still producing a heavy yield. In my early days, I would buy whatever looked good at the nursery. Now I am much more calculated. I want the most calories and nutrition per square inch of soil. Determinate tomatoes are a perfect example. Unlike indeterminate varieties that grow like vines until the frost kills them, determinate plants grow to a set height and fruit all at once. This is perfect for my homesteading workflow because I can process a whole batch of sauce at one time. I also look for patio varieties of cucumbers and peppers. These plants stay small but are incredibly prolific. Why it matters is about the return on investment. If I spend 4 months watering a plant that only gives me 2 peppers, I have wasted my time and resources. True self-reliance is about maximizing output. I choose crops like Swiss chard, kale, and cut-and-come-again lettuce. These are high-value crops because I can harvest the outer leaves and the plant will keep growing. One pot of kale can feed me all summer if I manage it correctly. Herbs are another must-have. They are expensive at the store, but incredibly easy to grow in small pots on a windowsill. For safety, I always keep an eye on my local code regarding where I can place these pots. Some apartment complexes or HOAs have rules about plants on railings. I make sure my pots are secured with heavy-duty zip ties or brackets. You do not want a heavy pot of peppers falling on a neighbor below. Also, be aware of the toxicity of certain plants if you have pets. Tomato leaves and rhubarb leaves can be harmful if a curious dog decides to take a bite. My materials list for this phase includes high-quality organic seeds and a liquid seaweed fertilizer. Because containers have a limited amount of soil, the nutrients get washed out every time I water. I need a way to put those nutrients back in without burning the plants. A liquid feed is easier for the plants to absorb quickly. I also keep a small notebook to track which varieties performed best in my specific microclimate. The steps for selecting are simple. First, I map out my sun exposure. Most fruiting crops like tomatoes need 6 to 8 hours of direct light,